Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Yeah. Thank you so much for inviting us to participate in your church. And we are so honored to be with you today. It has been a blessing to be with you in your home. And we have been refreshed. We are going back to Elkhart with energy to start again school tomorrow morning. We'll continue to pray for you and continue to pray for us because we love you. So let us turn to the Word of God, the mic. The scripture reading is from the Micah 6, verse 8. As I have explained last night about our church, I will not take time now to explain again who we are and how the church looks like. It's only inviting you to come and visit our church and fellowship with us in Tanzania. This morning we want to look what it means to be a community of justice. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we have to act justly, love, and mercy. These three words leads us to think on how we can be a community of justice. The Bible reads, but do justice and look and to love kindness, to walk humbly with God. Act justly and do love, mercy, and walk humbly with God. In the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 39, it reads, love your enemy as you love yourself. We are looking three words here again. Love and justice, it is God's character. Restoration of creation as God's mission. And the community of justice as God's shalom to the earth. One of the challenges which we are facing in our community today and even to the church is the unwillingness to trust each other. And because of that, we are living in divided societies of which we can't give our hope which found in Christ Jesus. We know about the wall that was built and divided, keeping German people apart. Many of us watched the 1990s, how that wall was broken down. It was Eastern German and Western German. This was the same country, but the wall was dividing them. But in 1990s, we could see how that wall was broken down. We, as people of God, God has entrusted us and is commanding us to be committed to remove barriers and the walls that are dividing us, as Jesus Christ said in Luke 4, verse 18 to 19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the freedom for those in prisoners and the recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the years of the Lord's favor. One of the great contributions of the church in Tanzania since 1934, when the first Mennonite missionary entered into our country, what I'm seeing today is the deep understanding of the redemptive suffering, witnessing of a church involved in a ministry of reconciliation, witnessing the new humanity being truly born, a community which transcends the divisions arising out of our sinfulness. Christ crucified and risen stands as a center of the creative act of grace. How Jesus Christ has become a center of our life in our country. How people love each other. How Christ became to reconcile to our enemy. They became to be our friends. How Christ himself brought us to the light to love Muslims, to love people from other cultures, from different tribes in Tanzania. For me, the church should be a prophetic voice for voiceless, to fight for any injustice wherever it is prevailed. It is our mandate, we Christians, to look at wars that divided us and work to assist in removing them. What are you facing here in our city? What is your agenda to this city? We should have an agenda why we are here, and what is our purpose, and what we want to accomplish. We should start to begin to think, how can we be the Christian-minded missionary church? If not, we are going to turn to be mission field. It is we. God has entrusted us, the ministry of reconciliation, to reconcile the world to him. To tell our friends. To tell our neighbors. Whoever we are going to meet, to tell him the hope we have about Christ, the faith we have about Christ and the God. Who is your neighbor? And who is my neighbor? Always when I think these questions, minds go to the people of my tribes, my clan, my friend, or people of my color of skin, or my fellow Christian. As I told you last night, I grew up in the society where I never seen a Muslim, the northern part of Tanzania. And until when I went to high school, and later joined Bible college, and then I started joining ministry, I started to learn on how Muslims hate Christians. I could hear hate preachings, hate speeches. Christianity, it is not the religion of God. It is Western culture. This is not religion. It's changing people's name, people's style of thinking, culture of the people, to think like Western people. And because of that, we formed a group of young people, Christian, which we created a habit of hating Muslims with passion. For many years, until 2010, when I started a ministry called Peace Building Initiative in Tanzania. God himself opened my heart one morning in my quiet time with God. I heard a clear voice, as I mentioned to you last night. Who are you? And why are you hating Muslims? If they were killing Christ in the cross, Do you think Christ could say, God, Father, forgive all except these radical young Muslims? From that day, I had to face my own attitude toward Muslims. The Holy Spirit of God showed me that if I was getting hard in my spirit, and that my hardness and bitterness to those radical young Muslims who are burning and killing our church leaders, God clearly showed me He will not continue to be part of my ministry. And this will take away the ability to communicate God's love to His people. If I continued in that way. So I had to ask for forgiveness from the Lord and the grace to Muslim more. Because of these events and which has shaken my faith in Christ, right there Christ healed me. I start work with Muslims in a new way from that day. Always I stand as a good Samaritan. I start to account brothers and sisters, Muslims, to be my neighbors. Why? Because Christ gave example in the cross. And the cross makes sense when it is acceptable. As St. Paul wrote, the message about Christ's death on the cross is nonsense to those who are being lost. But to us who are being saved, it is God's power. Once I wrote a message, the sermons, my title was Sense Out of Nonsense. In the world we live today, we are confronted with divided societies, which rooted in the foundation of this world. And this is what happened in our neighboring country called Rwanda, when Hutu tribe started to kill Tutsis, and 1 week they killed 1 million people. Just 1 week. They speak the same language. 99% of that country, they are Christian. And one journalist, Muslim, wrote, now Christians stop to baptize people in water, now they are baptizing through blood. It was shaming us. It was to try to show the country claimed to be a Christian country, which 99% are Christian, are killing each other even inside the church. In Somalia, 99% are Muslims. They speak the same language, they have the same culture, but almost 40 years they don't have stability government. They are killing each other by the name of clans within one tribe and one language. Last month, 169 were killed and 400 people were seriously wounded in Mogadishu. Enmity can even come into a stronger nation like the United States or British or German or Nigeria. Also sad, and even in the good family. That is why Cain murdered his brother Abel. Both were belong to the same mother and the same father. They had the same color of skin, the same language, and the same culture. That is what sin is all about. It separated a person from God. And immediately when you're separated from God, you're separated from your brother or your sister. If you became friend of Jesus, you became friend of your enemy. Simply you can love everybody because the God's love penetrates your heart and open your heart and sensitivity to show the people whom you have been calling enemy to be your friend. Sin brings divisions and confusions among the people. It shakes the foundation of political stability and the good norms of our teachings.
or we lose each other when we get separated from God. Things don't make sense. You don't sleep at night, and even your brother appear to be, or sister appear to be a threat, and you don't see them clearly. We need to evaluate ourselves, examine our hearts. The thinking of those who are being lost is totally self-centered. And these people lose their spiritual sight. The one who's centered on his selfishness, he may be a religious person. He can be a Christian. He may be a pastor. He may be a politician. A business person. It can be anyone. We Mennonite, we understand and continue to affirm a Christian-centered commitment to the way of peace as central to the Mennonite and the Baptist view of the church. Jesus taught us to love our enemy, both the personal and the national, and pray for those who persecute us. Matthew 5, verse 44. And that's why we confess, see, our kingdom, which is the kingdom of God, is not built with the violence or the power of this age, but by an uncompromising commitment to the way of peace through radical reliance on the Holy Spirit. We Mennonite, we teach that in the way of peace we can overcome evil and end injustice. Why? Because Christ, our Savior, is the Prince of Peace. By honoring Him and loving God, the God who gave His Son, Christ Jesus, to us as an example of His life, a Prince of Peace, we may take this message to the world. A taking a message does not mean collectively, it's individual. It's me, myself, it begins with me to tell anyone I meet about Christ, the hope I have. When I'm seeing you here, if any of you can take the step of faith to tell his friend, your friend, in your office, your relative, your friends, your fellow people whom you work to in the office, if you are 10, you give 6 months, you will be 20. If this 20 is going to be multiplied to tell others hope you have in Christ, the end of the year you will be 40. And then you will be 8, 160. When we started a church in Dodoma with my wife, we were 6. After 2 years, we were 200. And later became 500. And we planted another church. About 7 years, we were 8 churches in the city of Dodoma. Not that it's our ability. It was not we. We trusted God can do this because He has entrusted us to give, to tell people our hope we have about Him. Can you think to take a step of this year? Lord, I want to do something for you. I want to begin to calculate how can I tell my friend about the hope I have for Christ. African, we have amazing confidence with God as the just one. Wherever injustice seems to prevail, the Swahili says, Mungu yupo, or God is present. In my language, we could say Mungu ana nguvu, means God has got power. He is victorious. Because of that justice, he is attainable through God. And God cannot be defeated by evil. God also established peace. In him, people can live a non-violent life. You must know the God whom I serve is the Creator. He's a victorious life giver. He's everything. When we teach our people to be disciples of Christ Jesus, we tell them, can you pray for yourself? Pray to the person you are going to minister and ask God to soften their hearts before I go to them. One morning, I decided to visit the two families. Then I called them, my phone, that I will come to see you. They said, welcome. Then I went. I prayed, God, I want to minister to these people to invite them to come to church. Not to be a Mennonite, but to be a Christian. Then I prayed, I went. When I knocked to their door, they opened, then I get inside. Immediately they say, we never seen a pastor in this house. Thank you. Sunday we will come to church. Even before telling them come to church. Why? I prayed. I trusted God. Before opening my mouth to share the hope I have, God began to talk with them that night. When I entered there, already there was a calling. It's just to confirm. Have you done that in your life? Have you tried to do that? Don't undermine your level of understanding. Don't undermine who are you, who I am, to go to tell other people come to church. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. I'm not called to do that. No. But we as a Christian have called to be ambassadors of Christ in our lives, in our thoughts, in our speaking, in our actions, whatever we are, is to give hope for those who don't have hope. Let my preaching this morning be your Bible college. Take step of faith. Don't complain our church will be closed. Don't create in your mind, in your faith, we are going to close this church future. Have faith in God. Tell God himself, this is your church. It's you began here. How many years I don't know. But it's you, God. Help us and open the doors for people to come to worship you. The church should be always a prophetic voice for voiceless. Fight for any injustice wherever it prevails. In towns where Jesus was teaching, you could see publicans, prostitutes, lepers, men and women with no character left. All eaten through and through. Turn into pieces, running to Christ, not afraid that he will turn them away. They believed he's going to heal our hearts. And he did so. As a pastor of pastors in Tanzania, which I have served for that capacity for 32 years, I've heard and learned that we are losing direction and saving God for putting fingers to sinners. Instead of welcoming them to Christ and sitting in the throne of God to judge them by naming their mistakes, their sins, and the church became something people not interested at all. Someone wrote, church is not a social club for saints. It is a hospital for sinners. is a place where people can, I will be prayed for. I will be counseled for. I'll be loved. I'll be accommodated. In Africa, we don't close the door of the church. Always you open a door from morning to evening. People come themselves, they pray, they go. Someone you find in the church, someone kneeling there, hours and hours, then he goes. Twice a week you find a pastor in the church with a lot of people praying for them, teaching them, and welcoming them to Christ. We are different with you? No. We are human beings, all of us. We're tempted as you are tempted. We suffer as you suffer. It is the matter of trusting God. The Pharisees were religious teachers, but they had no ability to put broken lives together. They could not only judge Jesus Christ and criticize him. Always they are saying, look what he's doing, sitting with a prostitute, eating with the sinners. This is what they were doing. How many young people are suffering from drug dealers in this town? Hundreds and thousands of them. How many single mothers, single fathers? Widows. Can we have a hope for them and welcome them? We'll see how God will start to begin to work with you. As St. Paul said to us, the person who has been the cross is the power of God. The power of Christ brings justice, reconciliation, and peace. It is the message which makes sense when it is accepted. When it is accepted. When Christ was asking us to love our enemies, he showed us on the cross what he meant. St. Paul says, this message of the cross brings sense out of nonsense when it is accepted. The Christ is the center of our faith. And the cross of Jesus Christ is the uniter. We need to work together. Why? We don't have any other choice. We don't have any other choice. We have to work together. The cross is the uniter. It brings all kinds of people together. As St. Paul declared, Christ himself has brought us peace by making Jews and the Gentiles to be one in Christ. By his death on the cross, he destroyed our enmity. By means of the cross, he united both races into the body of Christ and brought us back to God. This is the power of the cross. The power of the cross. Have you think the power of the cross? Where our Lord Jesus Christ was nailed and killed, he took our iniquities, he took our weaknesses, he took our differences, he brought a new kind of life to us. That's why Christianity is a religion which has unique message. It is my prayer that God will begin to work with each one of you. I will take my prayer of this church to prayer group in Tanzania. We have prayer warriors. They started 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I don't know when. But I remember there was young people like 4. They grew up, they became 20. They grew up 200. They grew up 300. Last year, September, there were 400. This is prayer warriors. They pray seriously. They have gift of prayer. One day they were praying in one session, and they discovered sin to the church. They prayed, "You pastor, you are committing this and so on. 1, 2, 3. And the pastor came and said, "Yes, it's true, I committed all this." He repented, and the church became refreshed. And today congregation is big congregation because the pastor repented. The sin was brought to the light by the prayer warriors. This is the engine, the backbone of the church. We trusted them. This is young women and young people, young men who love the Lord. Whatever you put a prayer request to them, they take to the throne of God. They pray for people who are sick. They pray for people who are confused. They pray for people who are every prayer, every problem we put to them. And we have seen positive answers always. Can you be part of this in your Christian life to this church? Can you be from today a blessing of this congregation? Don't look for someone. It begins with me. If anyone could say, "It begins with me," you will start to see how God is going to penetrate to your community, to your friends, to your fellow staff you are working to your hands, to your mouth, to your thinking. And we see many, many, many blessings turning to you in a spiritual life. And God is going to heal you physically and spiritually. One day, we were preaching with my friend. The message of the cross makes sense out of nonsense. And two people hating each other, they came closer. And the Holy Spirit began to talk with them. And they opened the sensitivity of their life. They hug each other. Tears was coming down. They find brothers again. Another meeting, I remember we were preaching, someone was sitting behind the podium. And he ran from that there to the one he has called his enemy to this part of the building. And that one, he saw him, he know their enemy, he started to run away. He ran, then he catched him and hugged him. "I have been hating you. From today, I found you are my brother." It was a celebration to that meeting. One day I was preaching term meeting with a new suit I bought in Winnipeg, Canada. And here a person was very dirty. His smell is too bad. He came to me, "I want to receive Christ." I could not hug him. He was smelling too bad. But because of the love of Jesus Christ, I hugged him. I hung with him for almost 20 minutes. Tears was coming down. From that day, I take my coat, then I burn them. It was smelling. I could not wear again. That person today, he's a pastor. He was a drug dealer. He never washed. He never used toothbrush. He never washed his mouth for a number of months. He was smelling very bad. He became to Christ. Today he's a pastor. He preached, "Daniel, I teach how I preach." Why? Received Christ. the life giver. He blessed his heart. His physical. Today he's a mighty preacher in our church. When I see those young people, I say, thank you, God. I brought these young people to you. Thank you for sharing about this person from Tanzania. It's the people whom you can start to talk. Do you know God? Do you know Christ? Can you come to our church? We'll pray for you. We love Christ. It's how we begin to penetrate to the hearts of the people. You young woman, you talk with your friend. You tell them, please come to our church. You tell them in a prayerful, spiritual thinking. You trust God. I love you, God. I want this, my friend, to be a friend of yours. If you do that, you will be very happy. You will see joy in your heart. And the angel in heaven will celebrate with you. The church is called to be a community of justice. Shalom in Swahili is salama, or amani, or peace, with you and with God. In Islam they say salamu alaikum, alaikum salam, salam be with you, and salam to you. In the capital city, the former capital city of Tanzania, Dar es Salaam, is the city of peace. Means the harbor of peace. Shalom is a way of life to please God. It's the center of our faith. Peace with God and peace with others. In his writings, Paul wrote, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Peace, shalom, is unique to the church. It begins with God and it goes to other people. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Reconciling him to himself, and he has given us a ministry of reconciliation to reconcile the world to God. The church is called to be an agent of God's shalom to humanity. God's shalom is ultimate will to his people. For me, a community of justice is to build checks and balances within the social institutions. Community of justice for me is to create a community of equality, which striving for the values of justice and truth, which brings shalom, of which all people can benefit from equal opportunity for all. Equal distribution and experience freedom and justice in God's shalom. Your church will be a prophetic voice to fight injustice and the corruption, to liberate humanity wherever violence and the conflict are in this city. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, help us, Lord, so that we may experience shalom on earth in your name. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful this morning to fellowship with our dear friend of these wonderful people of this church. We are returning glory and honor to you, God, this morning for what you have done, for what you are doing, and for what you are going to do in our lives. I'm praying for each one of them, God, that you are going to work with them in a special way from this day. You are going to bless their hands, their hearts, so that they become your messenger, your ambassador to the people whom they live together. Thank you that, Lord, you are going to bless them. You are going to do the miraculous way in their lives, God. You are going to heal their lives. You are going to keep their children, their relatives. You are going to be with them. And Lord, give them the Holy Spirit so that they may be prayerful people. We want to thank you so much, God. Thank you for these people. Thank you for this church. We are trusting on you, and we know that you are going to bless each one of them and each one of us. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, the Holy Spirit. We are praying for you this morning and trusting that, Lord, you are going to answer our prayer, because it's you commanded us to pray, and we are waiting to answer our prayers. In Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. God bless you.